Welcome to a special all-access edition of the ProWrestling.net NXT Recap. I'm Zach Zimmerman. Today we'll be running through the show that aired on April 22nd, 2015, the first but actually final episode taped back on the February 18th set of tapings more than 2 months ago at Full Sail University. Thankfully, as I mentioned, this was the final set, the final taping from that set of tapings tonight. In fact, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out on Thursday, there is a new set of tapings. We will have the results up on ProWrestling.net shortly after the taping concludes, and so you can check back for that. However, before we jump into this week's show, this is an all-access edition, and so we've got some business to get out of the way. And then, of course, the Supermoe ProWrestling.net membership. Guys, before I was a staff writer, I was a very satisfied member. You're obviously familiar with the website if you're listening to this, but ProWrestling.net membership gets you access to the ad-free version of the website, which, and once you get rid of those pop-ups and flashers and banner ads and all that kind of stuff, you're never going to want to go back. Also gives you access to hours and hours of great audio content each and every single week. We give you guys little tastes here and there on the all-access side of things, but on the member side, they're getting every audio every week without question. We're getting Raw reviews, SmackDown reviews, NXT reviews, Impact reviews for whatever reason. We get the Will and Jake's Pretentious Wrestling Podcast audio show. You get Jason Powell's .NET weekly audio show, which is really the flagship broadcast of .NET membership. It includes a whole bunch of just all the news and events of the week, and usually a couple of tidbits of first-run news info that you're really not going to see or hear anywhere else. So, .NET weekly is really, that's the moneymaker right there, but you also get, as I mentioned, tons of other audio content, ad-free access to the site, and of course, I have to mention the guys in the forum. Membership also includes access to the .NET members forum. It's a separate sign-up process, but it's very quick, very simple, and you can use the same credentials or different credentials, I guess, whichever you prefer from your regular .NET membership login. But really good group of people in the forum. You don't run into a lot of the same message board drama or trolls or any of that kind of stuff that you're going to find elsewhere. It's a good group of guys in there, maybe a couple of gals too, but just a good wrestling conversation, good discussions happening in there. Usually the troublemakers get weeded out pretty quickly and don't last too long, so. Yeah, .NET membership is the way to go, guys. ProWrestling.net, you'll see the membership link at the top of the page. All the info you need is there. And, like I mentioned, it's so worth the money. You really can't go wrong. So jumping into this week's show, this was actually the first show taped back on February 18th. And so the crowd, overall, I have to say, the crowd for this set of tapings was pretty darn bad. They were pretty quiet for most things, but they were more alive this week than they have been for the other shows from the set of tapings. That said, this set of tapings really just kind of felt like a placeholder set of tapings, which it really was, I guess, while they figured out everything for WrestleMania and got, you know, the WrestleMania show going at San Jose State. And then just kind of getting the tour set up, which is going to be going through the Northeast in May. So it's really just kind of been a little bit of creative purgatory, I guess is the way to describe it, for the last month or so. But with this episode, they actually did a pretty decent job of kicking things off going into the summer. And at tonight's tapings, next week, beginning with next week's show, I really expect them to go full board, jump into the big summer kickoff for what is sure to be a very, very big year for NXT. But this show is actually a bit better than I expected, to be honest. Just because it came out of that placeholder set of tapings, I kind of had written it off. I don't know, anybody who listened to my review or read my coverage last week knows that I was just kind of pushing through. I'm just ready for next week. I'm ready for the fresh set of taping. And that's still the case, but I have to commend this show on the fact that it delivered really big on star power. As far as name value goes, this show delivered about as many names as NXT can fit onto one show right now. And on top of that, there were some pretty darn good angles to kick off what I expect will be the feuds that carry us through the summer. In the main event with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, in the ladies division with Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks, and even a couple other things. I think looks like we're going to be getting Tyler Breeze versus Finn Balor going forward, at least short term. So this show, despite the fact that it was bottom of the barrel, two month old taping, they did a good job of somehow rejuvenating what's been a really lackluster month or so and kicking things off for what should be a fun summer. So after the opening video, we got Rich Brennan and Corey Graves on commentary. Just a small thing, but the two-man commentary booth, that works for me. The three-man, there were times where it was okay, other times where it was pretty damn unbearable. for the most part, I kind of actually tuned out the announced team, at least recently. So I'm okay with them going to the two-man booth. I think it kind of calms things down a little bit. And Rich Brennan and Corey Graves are probably the two. I mean, I guess Renee is pretty good too. But these two are two of the more competent announcers that they have practicing down there in NXT. So I'm good with this. Finn Balor made his entrance to kick off the show. Commentators mentioned his involvement on the recent UK tour. And Ty Dillinger was out next. He, same as always, no person. I mean, the guy's got some charisma, but he's not allowed to show any personality or any character on this show. So he comes out with this scarf that's like practically dragging on the ground, and I don't know what it's supposed to be or what it's supposed to mean or what kind of feeling I'm supposed to get about it. It's just a really long scarf, and it was just his normal generic entrance, which unfortunately is the most personality he's ever had the chance to show. You know, now that he's wearing a scarf. First match tonight, singles between Finn Balor and Ty Dillinger. This was little more than a squash. The crowd let Dillinger know that he was a jobber pretty much throughout the whole match. Finn got his fun dropkick sequence early. Ty took control for a minute or so. Finn came back with the Pele kick, big dropkick in the corner. Coup de grace stomp. Finn Balor over Ty Dillinger in about 2.5 minutes. This was fine. I mean, I think I saw somebody on Twitter joke this was probably the handsomest squash match in wrestling history. And that's definitely in contention there. But jokes aside, I mean, Finn was fine here. It was a fine squash for him. I feel for Ty Dillinger. He's a guy, he's got so much to offer. I don't like to make comparisons, but he's kind of Randy Orton in the way that he's really smooth. He's really efficient in the ring. He looks very natural. He's got charisma with the way he carries himself and moves, but he just doesn't get to show it at all in NXT. And there was maybe one squash match about a year ago that I think I remember him showing some personality. Other than that, it's a really, really sad thing. And he comes out and the crowd is chanting, "You're a jobber." Boy, this guy, he's been in and out of WWE developmental so many times. And it just doesn't seem like, other than, maybe a week on WWE CW where they gave him a shot, it just seems like they've never, ever, ever given this guy even a moment of consideration. And that's unfortunate, but. After the match, Tyler Breeze appeared on the screen, called out Finn Balor. He said that Finn is nothing more than a flavor of the month. Said it's time for Finn to step up and face a real opponent, a guy who's been dominant in NXT, a guy like Prince Pretty. He said he will be seeing Finn around. And so looks like Finn Balor versus Tyler Breeze for the foreseeable future. I guess we'll know for sure after the taping tonight. We went backstage where, what's her name? Devin Taylor? Devin Taylor was interviewing Dana Brooke. And she asked about her debut last week. Dana said that last week wasn't her debut. It wasn't just a debut. It was the rebirth of the NXT Women's Division. She said it's been molded by the strongest, most powerful, I don't know, she used a bunch of other words to describe herself, but basically the most cut-up, strong, tough, powerful diva now. Basically, it's her division now, and she said playtime is over. The whole time she was doing it, she was, like, patronizing Devin Taylor, like, patting her on the head and talking down to her. You know, I'll say this for her. She delivered better in this promo here than she did in the ring last week. That's not saying a ton. I'm still not super impressed. She's got the look. She's got, you know, the idea of the character is there. I hope she steps up. Still not overly impressed with what she's brought to the table so far. We had Alex Riley versus Kevin Owens hyped for later in the show. The triple threat number one contenders match for the Divas Championship. God, for the Women's Championship was hyped up next. We went elsewhere backstage where Kevin Owens, it was actually not elsewhere backstage. It was right back in the same spot because Kevin Owens was being interviewed by Devin Taylor. She asked him about, what are your thoughts on facing Alex Riley tonight? Kevin was just kind of looking around, spacing out. Do you feel that, Kevin? I think I feel a draft, he said. So he was just completely ignoring her question. he did say, though, he said that, honestly, he has to give Alex Riley a little bit of credit. Last time they faced off, Riley put up a decent fight, but Kevin Owens won, and tonight will be the exact same thing. He said, because I'm better than him, and that's what happened. Owens, and that was that. Owens said, Devin, I think I'm going to go grab a coat, and then he took off. So he was more concerned about catching a chill from the draft than he was facing Alex Riley tonight, and rightfully so. Bayley made her entrance into the arena. Becky Lynch is out next, and Charlotte rounded out the participants for the second match of the night. Number one contenders, triple threat. Winner getting a shot at Sasha Banks in the NXT Women's Championship. Crowd was all into Bayley in this one right from the bell. Charlotte and Bayley took turns going after Becky right out of the gate, took her out of the match, got her disposed to ringside for a while before they went after each other. Pretty good match early on, really picked up after the commercial break at about the halfway point. Becky came back in and started to basically after the commercial break, everybody got their chance on offense where it looked like they were in control. There was a really, really nice Tower of Doom spot where actually Becky looked really good here. Before that, there was a nice reversal she had of a sunset roll into a cool leg submission. But then when she had that move applied, Charlotte came out of nowhere. She had been taken out to ringside. Charlotte came out of nowhere, drops Becky with the natural selection for a great near fall, but Bayley managed to break that up. Just great stuff here. There was a spot where it looked like they were setting up a Tower of Doom. They changed it up a little bit where instead Charlotte carried Becky out to the middle of the ring in powerbomb position and waited as Bayley came off the top rope. Bayley hit a diving reverse elbow on Becky before Charlotte planted her with the powerbomb. So that was a really cool spot. Final stretch here. Bayley hit the belly to Bayley on Becky. Charlotte broke up the pinfall and tossed Becky out of the way. And then Charlotte managed to apply the figure four on Bayley. Bayley got to the ropes. Charlotte dragged it back to the middle and hooked in the figure four. But then she did a back bridge, which I guess is the figure eight. Out of nowhere, though, Becky Lynch slipped in while Bayley was in the hold. Bayley slipped an arm over Bayley. I'm sorry, Becky slipped an arm over Bayley, made the surprise pinfall out of nowhere. Becky Lynch is your number one contender after winning the match in about 8.5 minutes. So, I'm fine with this. The match was a lot of fun, especially down the stretch. From basically that submission spot with Becky in the natural selection out of nowhere on, you know, the Tower of Doom, the trading finishers and all that kind of stuff. Really, really well done. This was the best match on the show. It delivered everything it needed to. It, you know, I wouldn't go as far as to say that it was like live special or live event caliber, and not quite. But I mean, as far as what you're going to see from these ladies on NXT TV, this was just about as good as it gets. Good effort for everyone here. Let's see, what else did we get? I was typing up some stuff, so I don't think I missed anything. They hyped a couple of things. I don't know exactly what, but I do know that they hyped Hideo Itami versus CJ Parker for up next. Went to a commercial, came back, and indeed that's the match we got. CJ Parker was carrying the same sign that he had last week. Because it was Earth Day, or it's like the week of Earth Day in the U.S. So he had a sign that said, "This is Earth Day," and Earth is crossed out, "This is my day." Same sign as last week, and this was actually what will turn out to be the final appearance of CJ Parker on NXT, at least for the time being. Hideo Itami was his opponent, so third match of the night, CJ Parker, Hideo Itami. Parker just kind of stalled for the opening minute in this one. Itami came back on a little bit of offense with that. He does a combo that I really like. He's starting to put together some very good-looking offense. But the running knee to the gut, the kitchen sink that he does, then he follows it up with a penalty kick to the chest. That's a really, really good-looking combo. I like that. It's simple, but it's effective. Down the stretch here, Parker was kind of in control until Hideo started to make his comeback. He had a jumping heel kick, fired off a lengthy series of strikes, just open-hand strikes and back fists and kicks and all sorts of cool stuff. Hit so many of those that Parker just kind of dropped and slumped in the corner. Itami charged across the ring, killed him with a hesitation dropkick, brought him to the middle of the ring and set him on his feet. Parker was wobbly. Itami hit the ropes, killed him with that single leg dropkick he does, which Rich Brennan called the shotgun kick, and I don't like that because that's what I call Finn Balor's, like, because, you know, Itami does it and it's just like a running single leg dropkick. There could be a cool name for it, but it doesn't remind you of a shotgun. When you think of, like, Finn Balor's, like, running double barrel, you know, drop kick to the chest and it launches you backwards. That reminds me of like a double barrel shotgun blast to the chest. You know what I mean? So I'm going to continue to call Finn Balor's move the shotgun drop kick. Hopefully they come up with something else for Itami's kick because I don't like that as the shotgun drop kick. But indeed, that is what he called it. Itami over Parker in about 4 minutes. Another fine match here. This was really not much. Itami's, you know, the offense that he strings together is continuing to look better. But again, this is from 2 months ago, and so this isn't completely representative of maybe where Itami's at right now. So I'm much more looking forward to seeing what Itami has in his future coming out of tonight's set of tapings. Going to the fourth match, we got Oh, I'm sorry. Before that, we went backstage where Sasha Banks approached Becky Lynch in the locker room, congratulated her on her win. We basically just went back and forth. Becky said that silver isn't Sasha's color. She looks gross. Sasha made fun of the way Becky said gross. And they just continued to go back and forth, bickering and kind of trading little jabs at each other. And they went their separate ways. It was a fine little introduction segment for what I expect to be the feud that's really going to carry out, you know, probably the first half of the summer, if not the entire summer, in that NXT women's title picture. Also curious to see who breaks out as the babyface in this matchup. It's a little bit, it's going to be interesting to see how they book this going forward. Alex Riley, Kevin Owens is hyped up next. I'm sorry, it was not hyped up next. It was just hyped. Because up next, we got the fourth match of the night, Rhino versus an enhancement wrestler, a guy who's got no name. The crowd informed Rhino that, or the crowd informed the jobber that Rhino was going to kill him. Then they got too smarty for their own good, and they started chanting, "EC-Dub, EC-Dub, you're better than that, Full Sail." I know there's a lot of people who may not think you are, but I know you are. You're better than that. Be better than that. Rhino hit the belly-to-belly. Rhino hit the gore. Rhino won. 30 seconds, the end. Same segment from last week with Blake and Murphy and Enzo and Cass and Carmella air. Blake and Murphy got Carmella jewelry and flowers, and every time they see her, they sing to her. Enzo and Cass don't like that. They made fun of, they made fun of Blake and Murphy, yada yada. Came back into the arena. Alex Riley made his entrance. NXT champion Kevin Owens was out next. Fifth match of the night, Mr. Rage versus Mr. Wrestling, non-title match. Owens backed Riley into the corner, just kind of punked him out, got in his face a couple times. Riley returned the favor. The two shoved each other. And then Riley began to fire away with shots and a drop kick. But before long, Owens was out to ringside doing his little, you know, the early match powder that he constantly does these days. Riley telegraphed the baseball slide drop kick, and Owens grabbed him and just bashed him back first into the metal ramp, and was pretty much in control from there. After commercial break, Owens continued to get the better of Riley, just beat him down. Riley looked like he was going to make a little bit of a comeback, hit a couple of clotheslines, maybe an elbow in the corner, the moonlight drive. Went to the top rope, but Owens crotched him. And then Owens just killed him from here. Clothesline in the corner, cannonball, pop-up powerbomb. Owens kills Riley, 5 minutes. That's that. After the match, though, Owens looked like he was, you know, he couldn't tell what he was going to do. He kind of dumped Alex Riley to ringside, then he grabbed his title and looked like he was going to walk out. And he changed his mind. He turned around, and he looked like he was going to kill Alex Riley with the apron powerbomb. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, he didn't get to do that, though. Before he could do that, Sami Zayn sprinted down the ramp, beat him up, they brawled, laying in shots pretty darn heavy here. They wanted this to look believable, and it did. They were definitely laying him in here, but referees tried to pull apart Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Not much success. The locker room cleared out, the jabronis of the locker room anyway, cleared out. Basically, the guys who you couldn't name cleared out of the locker room. They came down, separated everybody. Sami Zayn got into the ring and looked like he was just going to kind of close things holding the ring. Then he went up to the top rope and he flipped over the turnbuckle, flipped over the ring post, wiped out everyone at ringside with a big flipping plancha, including Owens. But Owens managed to scramble back up to the ramp. He grabbed his title and held the stage. Sami Zayn held the ring. And that was the way the show closed. So, fun angle to close the show, for sure. I mean, the match was just kind of rinse and repeat from the Arnold Classic show, which, I mean, I'm fine with watching Alex Riley getting killed. It's nothing I want to see again. Please don't get the wrong idea, WWE. We've seen it twice is enough. But I always enjoy watching him get beat up. As far as the angle afterwards, though, I mean, that was as hot as you can get for a two-month-old, bottom-of-the-can taping angle. You know what I mean? It was effective. It was fun. It got the crowd up. It's going to, you know, lead right into where the tapings are going to pick up tonight and what I expect will be the feud to carry us through the summer as Sami Zayn chases Kevin Owens. They reignited the hottest feud in NXT, and bravo to them for that, because 2 weeks ago I was just thinking, if we can just get through these next 2 weeks, I will be a happy man. You know what I mean? Just let me survive these next 2 weeks of NXT without being bored to death or without, you know what I mean, just whatever. But no, they bravo to them. Between the Finn Balor Tyler Breeze kickoff, the name power between Finn Balor and Hideo Itami and Rhino and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and the ladies feud kickoff, the return of Kevin Owens and Alex Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's feud, all of those things. This show was pretty damn packed with good stuff. Match quality, I mean, aside from the ladies' match, it was just, you know, the matches were just kind of there. But, I mean, thumbs up for everything else on this show. Much better than I expected it to be. And next week, I expect things to really kind of pick up and set the tone for where things are going to be going throughout the summer. It's a big year for NXT, and I don't think they can miss this opportunity. I mean, this is their summer kickoff, so I'm very, very excited for next week. I hope I'm not setting the bar too high, but really high hopes for next week, really high hopes for NXT this summer. I'm looking forward to NXT touring. I will be able to make the show in Albany on May 16th. I'm incredibly excited for that. Big things on the horizon for NXT, guys, so things are about to get fun. I won't give it away, but it looks like I'm going to have somebody joining me for the summer kickoff audio show next week. If not, don't hate me, but that is a tentative plan. There's somebody who's been kind of reaching out and trying to join up with me for a couple of weeks now, and I've just been kind of thinking, you know, maybe let's make it summer kickoff. It'll be, big, new, fresh stuff in NXT. We'll have kind of a fresh show with new co-hosts, that kind of thing. So we'll see if that ends up coming to fruition. If not, I'm sorry. This is a lot of build for nothing, but I think it'll probably end up happening. So we have next week's show to look forward to, next week's audio to look forward to, big NXT tour to look forward to, big year for NXT to look forward to. So, things are looking up, guys. That's going to do it for me, though. Thanks for listening. Take care.